Okay, continuing on. So as we are saying here, mental assent to Christian doctrine and Christian belief is not something that proves spiritual relationship. See, what we forget today is back in apostolic times, people did not readily profess Jesus as Lord because it was not popular to do that, and it created troubles and persecutions. So because it did that, people were basically committed to the cause of Christ, and therefore they understood they would suffer for that form of Christianity. In our generations, that is not so. We have a third of the world that believes that Jesus is the Son of God, and yet they are not saved for the very reason they are not committed to God's will or word, and they are not following the Lord Jesus Christ in their practicality. So see, that is the great difference. So when many people try to appeal to the epistles, the actions that happened to the Corinthians, that is not necessarily how God will act to people today. As I've said many times, God shows patience and long-suffering to those who are not given certain light. He's done that with the Jews. He's done that with those who've been given more. So Paul was more long-suffering with the Corinthians, but he would not be with those who have been in the way and know Scripture, because he would understand the higher accountability to much is given, much is required. The people today who have Bibles, the complete Scripture, none of these people had this. When Paul was writing, they didn't have basically epistles going around. He was barely beginning to write some at the time. And so God dealt with them, and he was more patient with them. But when people think that they can even get away with what the Corinthians did, they are sadly mistaken, because they have been given more and know more. God will judge them with a higher standard. So the people today, many that claim to be Christians, are not Christians. But they do believe mentally. I've said this countless times, because the majority of people who claim to be born again are not born again. Oh, they believe some basic teachings of Christianity. I even hate the word. They say, we believe in the tenets of Christianity. This is a bunch of hogwash. It has no basis. Let me tell you a secret. It is no secret. Demons believe that, and it's not saving them. So mental assent today and God's standard to deal with those with is entirely different from those who were not even given Scripture at the time. And God said he honors his word above all of his names. He puts a higher value on the written word and its commands and instructions than he does on signs and wonders. This is why he holds people more accountable. We've said that the ministry of the word, the fivefold ministries, they take precedent over all ministries of signs and wonders and healing. All of this are subordinate. Why? Because these type of miracles and signs cannot save a person, nor can they keep a person in Christ. But the ministry of the Word not only gives eternal life and confirms eternal life, the Spirit gives a life to it. The Spirit and the Word agree, and the Word is able to keep people in the grace of God if they listen to it and if they follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. No sign or wonder has ever done that, nor will it do that. So in that respect, God has not changed in his dealing. So those who seek a sign, a natural sign from the natural mind, he calls them an evil generation. If people will not obey the laws of conscience, the laws of nature, and other what we call lesser laws, then when they see the greater, if they do, which is rare, if they were to perceive something extraordinary, it cannot affect their heart any different. That's why Jesus made the statement, which so many people, even Christians, still find difficult to understand, because they're still thinking with the natural mind. Remember the man in hell after he was told the story, and he understood why he was in hell, and Abraham was talking to him, And he said, when he knew he was hopeless, he said, go send someone from the dead to speak to my brothers that they don't come to this evil place, to this horrible place. And Abraham said, they have the law and Moses. And he said, oh, they won't believe that. And Abraham said, and they will not believe even if one was raised from the dead. He gave them the very thing that if they listened to Jesus Christ himself, who raised from the dead, it would have no effect on them if they were not willing to obey the law of Moses, which they understood. See, therefore, it's called evil. When a person seeks more information or greater light, when they're rebellious to what they've already been given. And I've seen this so many times over 40 years in counseling people. They're always looking for something new. They want to hear God's will. They want to start a new ministry, and yet they never do what God tells them to do. They open themselves up to lying spirits that will confirm lies to them. See, because they're deceiving themselves, and they are being deceived. You do not skirt God on certain issues, and you do not decide what your punishment is. God decides this. And that's why I tell people, if you've disobeyed God in something major, before you proceed to anything else, you had best deal with that. Because otherwise, if you are deceived, and if God has not dealt with it, he will let you be deceived in the further information you get. You'll be led down a broad way to deception. Because a person cannot progress or prosper spiritually when they're still in sin. That's why some people, you know, in an adulterous generation, they flippantly marry and remarry, and in some cases, God forgives. In some cases, he doesn't. And therefore, the individual better be sure. Paul gave instructions. Jesus did. So there are people I've counseled that, even though I may believe their past has been forgiven and they've started over, there are others with the light they have of Scripture cannot accept that. And that's their right. And so it affects them if they don't clearly have an assurance that what they're doing. So there are some people that have married and divorced and remarried that God considers them living in adultery. He never will sanction it. And there's some that he does. So you can see the complications. And that's just one example. So therefore, I always tell people, if you've disobeyed God on a major, there's a couple of things has to happen. You are either punished for it, and then God will take you back to it, or he will take you on and say, this doesn't apply no more. But you do not decide on your own the matter. And therefore, some people cannot proceed with God because they will never go back and deal with what God considers important. So if you don't, God will not. And yet these very people will try to serve God and believe they're serving God, and yet they're still in what God considers sin and disobedience. So this is what happens to the person who has the natural mind. He's trying to seek. He wants for his mental belief, his mental mind, he wants to see something so he can judge. He wants God to come down on his level and prove himself to him. But see, that proceeds from a wicked heart. God has no intentions of proving himself to wicked people. He has nothing really to say to them. If you understand the principle of Scripture, it is the will of God that they be deceived, because they've refused the light. That's his instruction. That's the principles of the kingdom. That's why he says even what they have will be taken from them. So it means if they do not submit to God on his terms, God does not submit to them on theirs. For again, they cannot perceive in their mind that God sets the terms. He is master, not them. But see, they have been lied to by the false shepherds as if God is a Santa Claus, as if God is the poor old father just begging his sinful children to get right, and he pleads. There is no such teaching in Scripture. See, it's a lie. They have misrepresented God. They have taken away his holiness. They have taken away the fear of the Lord. They've made him into another Jesus, which is not the Jesus that the Scripture speaks of. And this is why many multitudes will say, Lord, Lord, believing in a false Jesus, when he says, I never knew you, you cursed of my Father. You workers of iniquity, sin. You practice lawlessness. That's what he tells them. And these are the same people that today that are teaching and believing that God loves them unconditionally. And he always says, I forgive. No, he doesn't. There are terms for him to say that. There are conditions to be met. And they have been lied to. And many people go to their deathbed and they have no fear because they're under a deception. And a false shepherd comes in and says, well, now you all have to just say this little prayer and we'll sprinkle a little water on you and now you're okay. And they die believing this until they're speechless before God's judgment seat and the full truth hits them that it wasn't so, that it wasn't so. So this mental belief that people want has not changed. Wicked people have the presumption and the assumption that somehow God is going to come down and give an account of himself. And it's astounding. That's because the sin has deceived them. See, they're not concerned with God's holiness. They don't really want to see or understand God's judgment. So somehow they think, because again, their own mind, and people lied to them and made God into some little weakling who runs around, just follows them all their life, begging them to be good. Please be good so I can take you to heaven. There's no such teaching in Scripture. These are doctrines of demons that are propagated by lying spirits, and the end of those who listen to lies, we know what that end is. So, it's obedience. If people will not obey the lower law, will not obey what they know, they should not expect anything greater. And if a person professes to be a Christian, and I've counseled many of them, I tell them of the danger. They don't like that. I said, don't pursue God over this. You're asking for trouble. You're trying to skirt God's will in your rebellion and think that somehow God's going to overlook it and we'll just go on when there's been no repentance, when there's been no restitution, when there's been no dealing with sin. This is not going to happen. The scripture says the person that finds mercy is he that confesses and forsakes his sin. Many people are being offered false mercy and false breezy grace doctrines without repentance, without commitment to obey Christ. And these are false forms of Christianity that will lead multitudes to the eternal hell. Okay, before we go on, worth going there because of what we're talking on, let's go to Hebrews. We're talking about people wanting signs when no signs will be given, and that the natural man cannot perceive spiritual things without the help of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 3, oh, we'll go several verses, they're worth staying there. Verse 12, beware, brethren. Remember the Hebrew writer speaking to those who've not been led astray and turned from Christ back to the old forms of Judaism. They are the ones that Paul actually means when he says, I'm persuaded better things of you. Now the false teacher says, well, none of them fell away because Paul said he was persuaded. What foolish people. How they pervert scripture to their own destruction. No, some had fallen away, and some could not be brought back to repentance. But the ones that were listening to Paul's epistle, common sense says that they were still there, that they had not fallen and gone back to Judaism. And he said, and I'm persuaded better things of you. Why was he persuaded? Simply because they were still listening to him. They had not forsaken Christianity and gone back to Judaism. Cannot people use common sense? No, they cannot when they're not spiritual. And they believe false doctrines. So he says, beware, brethren, lest there be in you, notice the word there, an evil heart, and it's interchangeable. When it says unbelief, the practical side means disobedience and departing from the living God. To depart from God, you have to disobey him. See, belief implies obedience. See, this scripture alone and these verses will refute mental assent. He interchanges the word belief with obedience, and unbelief with disobedience. He uses them interchangeably, okay? And he said, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, while you have the time and opportunity, is what he's saying, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So he's saying, if you proceed in your disobedience, your willful disobedience to God's truth, he says sin's going to lie to you. It's going to deceive you. Multitudes are in this place right now. Many, most of them, professing Christians that never were Christian. But there are multitudes who are once Christians at some level who are deceived, and they still say, Lord, Lord, but they're on their way to hell. They're not obeying the Lord. They're not submitting to him. They're not being led of him. They're giving themselves up to pleasures and finding themselves in the cares of this life at the expense of their duty to God. For we have become partakers of Christ, and the if there does mean if, the condition that you hold on from the beginning what you were given. What were you given in the beginning? That you had to confess Jesus as Lord, and you had to follow him and obey him as your master. That's what true Christianity is. It had nothing to do with mental assent on its own. And then he gives the warning of not to harden yourself. See, it's sin that causes a person to do this. But he says, for who, having heard, rebelled? He's asking a question. Indeed, all of those that came out of Egypt that were led by Moses. I'm coming back to that place that these people saw signs and wonders. God said, I tested them 10 times, implying there were at least 10 major occasions. And they saw things that even the people at Jesus' day as a nation did not see. And not one of that generation made it into the eternal kingdom, is what he supplied. Only the two got in. It did not help them spiritually. But he said that generation, he swore in his anger because of their sins, I will not let them enter into my rest. It was a sign of eternal heaven that they were not to get in, that he cut them off. And yet they saw more signs than any generation ever saw as a nation. And did it produce obedience? Did that sign make them faithful to God throughout their life? They couldn't even stay faithful for months at a time without sinning against God. And the very thing being, because their heart was not changing. They were not fully obeying the Lord. The scripture says the children of Israel saw the acts of God. But it said Moses saw his ways. See, that was the difference. Moses saw and perceived things of God because he was in the right relationship. But it was hidden from the rebellious to the degree that God destroyed many of them and ultimately let that whole generation wear out and would not take them. And so he's given this as an example here. He says, now who was he angry with? He wants us to understand. Who was he angry with? He was angry with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness. These were the ones who saw the 10 signs and wonders, the 10 deliverances from Egypt. These are the ones who saw the angel in the cloud, who saw God, fiery cloud, saw him destroy the Egyptian army. These are the ones that saw miracles and signs outwardly, and yet they did not enter. And then interesting, the very thing that the Pharisees and the Jews were asking Jesus, show us a sign. Jesus was saying no signs could be given. They go back and studied Moses and the children of Israel, they would have understood why. God had no intentions. Because it had no effect on them if their heart was not changing and their mind was not set to obey the Lord. And he said, and what did God do? He swore in his anger, that was his punishment on them, that those who did not obey him would not enter into rest. And then he asked a rhetorical question. So you see that they could not enter in because of disobedience. The word unbelief, again, is used with disobedience. They did not believe the word to obey. That is simply what it means. They were given instructions and they consistently disobeyed what they saw and what were they told. They weren't asked to do things that they didn't understand. They were given clear instructions and they disobeyed clear instructions, and God said that they would not enter into his rest, and he had no intentions I've given them any more signs. So that is what we need to understand today, that God's principle still applies. If a person will not pursue God in the truth they're given, if they do not show a interest, God will not bother with them. They've got enough. They have enough. And the scripture in Old and New, in Jeremiah says, if you seek God with all your heart, you'll find him. Not only does God have to pursue a person, the person has to pursue God and respond properly. Hebrews later will say, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He does not reward flippancy. He does not reward the carnal mind. He does not come on demand to the disobedient and the wicked and answer what they want. He has no intentions of doing this. This is what the Pharisees, the hypocritical leaders, demanded of Christ, and He promised them nothing. He told them what was going to happen to them. And yet they could not perceive things that the common people did and His disciples did, because Jesus said, it's been given to you to understand the mysteries of God. It is not given to them. The wicked, the scripture says, we're talking about the lifestyle, shall never understand. Spiritual understanding is not for the wicked. And yet scripture also says, both in the old, it says, and the way of the righteous shall be made plain. So it shows you one perceives and one does not. It was the disciples being faithful to what they were given while they were with Jesus and staying with Him and obeying Him and suffering what they did was the reason God extended more grace to them and gave them more understanding. So those who are given more. And those who are not faithful to the little they've been given, even that little shall be taken from them. Again, in the context, it is not it might be, it's affirmative, it shall be taken from them. So therefore I tell people, if you're going to go on with God, and if you know that you've been disobedient, you and God better deal with that. Because otherwise, you may waste time and years on the wrong path, thinking you're serving God, and find out a judgment day you are not. So that's what people... So human nature, being what it is, cannot understand spiritual things. Remember that. The natural man does not perceive the things of God. They are foolishness. See, God has to do something. Christianity is a revelation. Christianity and the spiritual life is the grace of God, the enabling of God, God giving people the ability to do His will. The natural man, see, this is the self-righteousness of the Pharisee, is the natural man. I will serve God on my terms. I will decide what's good enough for God. And God's saying it's all filthiness and rags and sinful, and it's unacceptable. So see, the natural man thinks with a wicked natural mind. He cannot perceive that God does not think like he does. See, that's why you will hear so many unsaved people and many who profess to be Christians that are not. They're always willing to give you their opinion of what they believe. And then when they espouse so much foolishness, you sit there sort of astounded, because if you have any knowledge of scripture, you say, well, I don't know where they got that from. Well, I believe, and I've heard this from professing ministers, that somehow God will find a way for everybody. See, that's what they believe. Oh, I don't believe God will send anybody to hell. We experience all our hell here. And yet these are people who profess and believe that Jesus is the Lord. I've had people tell me that, get offended, because I told them they were false. Well, I believe in heaven because Jesus said it. I said, well, what about hell? Well, I just don't believe that. And they do not even have the common sense, and these are intellectual people, to sit there and realize you can't have it both ways. Either Jesus spoke the truth in all he said, or he did not speak the truth. But see, they have selective Christianity. They have selective mental belief. And I've heard this constantly. I believe this. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, and sometimes the Lord says, don't answer a fool according to their folly. Leave them alone. They're not interested in you reproving them. They're interested, as Proverbs says, a fool delights in revealing his folly. In a multitude of his foolishness, he reveals what he is. That's why the proverb says even a fool, when he doesn't speak, he's considered wise. Because as soon as he speaks, he tells the discerning person how foolish he is, that he should keep his mouth shut. So see, this is why the natural man can ask for all the signs he wants. He can demand of God. He can say, well, if you do this, I'll do that. You know, God will let him live his life, die, and go straight to hell, and God ain't answering that. And they're going to find that out when it's too late, how absurd it was for a wicked, rebellious person to even suggest to God that he meet them on their conditions and give an account to himself. Why, you know, we have one lesson, if that don't scare you, the most righteous man who ever lived at the time, Job, in his righteousness, and God himself told the devil there was none like him in all the earth. Even this man in his trials, which we can give an excuse for, he decided to call God into account. God reproved him for it. And here was the most righteous man at the time who had lived. And God looked at Satan and said, have you seen anything like him? There is none like him in all the earth, a man who is upright and fears God and hates evil. You don't find that testimony given of hardly anybody else in Scripture. You find Jesus that said, he is my son of whom I'm well pleased. Isn't it astounding? And yet God got angry with Job when he proceeded to call God into account and to demand of God, in a sense, you give an account of what you're doing. And this was a righteous man. And yet, show me a sign, and I'll do this, and I'll do it. And God himself could answer them if he chose. He can say, you're the biggest liar in the universe, and if I was to give you a sign, I'd have to consign you to a deeper hell, because you're not going to obey signs. You never would, because you won't obey what you're told now. See, they don't sort of get that. So we have to understand, that's why it's part of what I always do and will always do in this generation, mental belief in Jesus as Lord is useless without faith and obedience to the person and the Word of God. We are in a different time and a different insights, and people cannot go back and take the lesser knowledge and think that they can get away with it, because they're not going to. The people at Paul's time, when they confessed Jesus at any level, they received persecution and troubles throughout the Roman world. It was a rarity they were left alone. So even by them giving mental assent, they bore witness to it by willing to suffer for the way that they believed in. So God honored them in a way he will not honor people today, because they have been given much more, and they are faithless and useless. The much more that they've been given, and they won't obey any of it. Therefore, their judgment will be so much more severe at the day of judgment. People today who have Bibles, people today who profess Christianity, will not fare as well as the people of Sodom and Gomorrah will. Not even the people that Jesus spoke to and reproved them and said, if these signs and wonders that I've done among you had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented and the city would still be standing. That's going to be said of the people in our generation. Even the Pharisees and even the people at Jesus' time when he was on earth, they're going to look down at us and say, you're going to answer for more, because of the insight and the knowledge and the fullness of Scripture that God has given. So therefore, you will come under a stricter judgment. Let's stop here. Lord, give us wisdom to the practical application of your word, that we understand in the generation we live, in the area we live, in the physical body and place we're stationed in our lots, that we must find and be found loyal to you, doing your will when the Master comes, either by the second coming or he comes by the door of death for us. Give us wisdom that we will hold the truth, hold on to it, and not forsake the truth, and let no one take our crowns. In Jesus' name, amen.